This morning I want to present you with a very important question. And the question is this: have you been deceived by the doctrines of demons? By that I mean to ask, have you been duped into embracing the satanic lies of seducing spirits? Have you allowed the teachings of fallen angels to affect your mind and your life? Now, before you rush to answer these questions, before you say, no, not me, Bungie, I would encourage you to first consider the content of this message so that you can examine the time that you actually spend receiving the faulty philosophies of fallen angels. Then, if by the end of this study you discover that you are still listening to the demonic doctrines of seducing spirits, well, I would simply encourage you to repent. I would encourage you to repent by rejecting the seductive lies that are spread by the devil. Here in our study this morning, we're going to examine the satanic teachings which have been infiltrating and influencing the kids here in our country for many, many, many years. And with this as our focus, we're going to spend our time this morning considering, number one, the deception that is caused by the doctrines of demons. Secondly, we're going to consider the subterfuge that is caused by seducing spirits. And finally, we'll consider the disappointment that's caused by departing disciples. Well, this is our focus. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, because there we find Paul warning Pastor Timothy about the doctrines of demons, which would bring heresy into the church. As you make your way to 1 Timothy 4, I want to set the stage for our text today by helping you to understand that Paul was extremely concerned over the fact that the church would eventually be invaded and infiltrated by false teachers, which he described as being ravenous wolves. He even told the leaders at Timothy's church that savage wolves would come in among them and not spare the flock. Now, here in this first pastoral letter to Pastor Timothy, Paul warns this church about the doctrines that would be brought in by these ravenous wolves. And with this as our focus, if you would look with me there at 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want to look there at verse 1. There Paul writes, "Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Now, I just want to stop here because as we begin to dig into this one verse, I want to point out that the word doctrine that Paul is using, it comes from the Greek word which was used to refer to the teachings and the instructions of an educator. And so Paul, he's basically encouraging Timothy to be on the lookout for those teachers who would sneak in and creep into the church, and they would attempt to lead the believers in his church astray with teachings that were created by demons. He's saying, hey, there's going to be people coming in who have been influenced by demons, and they're going to bring teachings, demonic teachings, demonic doctrines. As we consider some of these demonic doctrines, I'll point out a few. I should point out, first of all, that the Quran was received by a person named Muhammad. And Muhammad tells us in the Quran that an angel met him. The angel's name was Gabriel, according to Muhammad. And this angel Gabriel met Muhammad in the cave of Hira. And three times this angel told Muhammad to read what he was handing him. And three times Muhammad expressed his inability to read the words. He was illiterate. But each of these times that Muhammad said, no, I can't read this, Muhammad tells us that the angel Gabriel choked him. Now that doesn't sound like the Gabriel of the Bible to me, personally, so I have a hard time believing that this is Gabriel in the Bible. This seems like maybe another angel named Gabriel. Muhammad tells us that this angel Gabriel choked him and ordered him to read the writings anyway. And after choking Muhammad three times, this angel proceeded to provide him with the doctrines that are found within the Quran. What this tells us, in Muhammad's own words, is that this evil spirit came to him and choked him three times and forced these doctrines into his mind. And that's how the Quran came to us. Sounds like doctrines of demons to me. In similar fashion, Joseph Smith, he also tells us that he received the source material for the Book of Mormon from another angel named Moroni. According to Mormon history, Joseph Smith was praying in the woods in upstate New York. He was wrestling with which church he should join. There were all these churches in the area, and allegedly he wanted to know what was the right church. And so he went out to the woods to pray, and according to Smith, God the Father and Jesus Christ showed up and instructed him to join none of the churches. Then 3 years later, he tells us that the angel Moroni arrived and led him to find and translate the golden plates, which were the Book of Mormon. Now, I've spent some time studying this book, and I can assure you that it is filled with doctrines of demons. That being the case, I have to assume that that angel Moroni, that was no good angel. I believe that Joseph Smith met the angel Moroni. I just have to assume that this angel was a fallen angel. Moroni was a demon. And those who embrace the Book of Mormon or the Quran, well, they're embracing doctrines of demons. Another religious leader who clearly received the doctrines of demons is a man named Aleister Crowley. Now, you might not know much about this man named Aleister Crowley, but Crowley was born in England in 1875. And though his parents were Christians, Crowley rejected the doctrines of the Bible, and instead he actively pursued a relationship with Satan. As a matter of fact, Crowley once said this. He said, "I was not content to believe in a personal devil and serve him in the ordinary sense of the word. I wanted to get a hold of him personally and become his chief of staff. I didn't want to be buddy with the devil. I wanted to serve him in his army in this high-ranking position." That's what he's saying. With this as his goal, Crowley sought to make a connection with Satan himself. And according to Lawrence Sutton of Hamline University, Crowley engaged in a blasphemous ritual during which he crucified a frog. During that ceremony, Crowley declared, speaking of the frog being crucified, he says, "Lo, Jesus of Nazareth, how thou art taken in my snare. All my life long thou hast plagued me and affronted me. In thy name, with all other free souls of Christendom, I have been tortured in my boyhood. All delights have been forbidden unto me, and that which is owed to me they pay not in thy name." Now, to put this very plainly so that we can all hear what a spoiled brat he was, he's saying, "I wanted to have a lot of fun, and my Christian parents wouldn't let me. It's Jesus' fault." Crowley then went on to declare this over this frog that he was crucifying and calling Jesus. He says, "I therefore condemn thee, Jesus, the slave God, to be mocked and spat upon and scourged and then crucified." And then according to Sutton, the sentence was then executed with the legs of the animal being eaten to confirm the magical link between the magus and the frog, which invested with the spirit of Jesus, now served as a willing familiar. He received a demonic entity at this point in time. The rest of the body was then burned to signify the end of the old age and the beginning of the new eon, or what is called the new age. Without debate, Aleister Crowley was an evil man who hated our Savior Jesus Christ. He himself even preferred to be referred to as the Great Beast 666. That's what he wanted to be called. And in his pursuit of becoming this great beast of the Bible, I believe that Crowley truly established connection with a demon. He actually claims to have made contact with a fallen angel that he called Awais. And this demon named Awais, he told Crowley that he was going to become the priest of a new religion for the new age. He was not only designed to usher in this new age, but this new religion was also designed to bring an end to Christianity. See, Crowley understood that in order for this new age to happen, Christianity would have to be destroyed. Christianity was the very thing that was keeping his evil new age from coming to pass. Furthermore, Crowley also began to receive the doctrines of demons from this fallen angel, and under the influence of this demonic entity, Crowley penned the work that's now known as the Book of the Law. I'm fairly certain that most of you have probably never read this demonic work. It's 3 short chapters. I own it. I read it. I wanted to know what it said. Well, I'm pretty sure that none of us here have read the book. What I do know for a fact is that the majority of us here this morning have been influenced by the doctrines that are found within it. I know that the majority of us, if not all of us, have been influenced by the demonic doctrines found within the Book of the Law. And the reason I know this is because the doctrines of demons that are found in Crowley's writings have been repeated and regurgitated by seducing spirits for many, many years. Now this brings us to our second point, because listen, the doctrines of demons that are created to deceive us are more deceptive when they're presented by spirits who are attempting to seduce us. But this is our focus. I want to take another look at what Paul was saying to Timothy. If you would look with me there, again there at 1 Timothy 4. Once again, we'll look at verse 1. There Paul declares, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Here in this verse we find Paul, he's describing the fallen angels that bring these doctrines of demons as being deceiving spirits. And it'll help us to know that the word deceiving here in our text is actually translated from a Greek word which in this context was used to describe someone who is seducing others into the corruption of doctrinal error. It's a seduction that results in deception. For this reason, that the translators of the King James Version of the Bible, they render this verse in this way. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." These demons with these false doctrines want to come and seduce us into believing these false doctrines. They're not going to come and be the boogeyman. No, they're going to come and seduce us. In order to further understand the alluring appeal of these seductive spirits, it's important to remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 when he told us that Satan himself will transform himself into an angel of light. Now, Hollywood has done a very good job at convincing us into believing that Satan and demonic entities are always these boogeymen and evil and scary, and they're going to make your head spin around and spit up blood and all this kind of stuff. But the Bible tells us that when Satan comes, he's going to masquerade himself as this angel of light. He'll be beautiful. He'll be seductive. The enemy wants us to think of the devil and think of The Exorcist, but the reality is that the devil's going to look more like Lady Gaga. Or it's going to be more like a 50 Cent video. Very seductive. Very alluring. Paul goes on to tell us in 2 Corinthians 11 that Satan's ministers will also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. They're going to come and say, "Hey, this is right. Let me lead you into the path that's right and correct." That being the case, we must understand that the seductive spirits that Paul was warning Timothy about in our text today, they're going to be these beautiful ministers who are bringing doctrines that are very attractive to our fallen nature. They're going to make us feel good. Now, as we consider the way in which the devil has this plan to send out these seducing spirits who will declare these deceptive doctrines, it's also interesting to note that this was exactly the plan that the devil gave to Aleister Crowley. As a matter of fact, Crowley even revealed this plan when he declared this. He said, "Let me seduce the boys." He's speaking of the boys there in England where he lived. "Let me seduce the boys. Then," he said, "these boys become men and will bring about the new heaven and the new earth." Then he went on to say this, "Without an army, I am useless. Give me an army, young men, and we will sweep those dogs, speaking of the Christians, into the sea. Give me an army of young men, and we will sweep those dogs, we will sweep those Christians out of England. Now remember, Crowley was a man who wanted to become Satan's chief of staff. He didn't want to just be buddies with Satan. He wanted to serve Satan in this high-ranking position within what he calls an army of young men. And after receiving the doctrines of demons from that fallen angel, Crowley then sought to find young men who could go and seduce the world with his demonic doctrines, thereby ushering in this new age. That was his plan. That being the case, we should take a moment to ask, did Crowley find his young disciples there in England? Did Crowley ever get his hands on some young boys who will go out and herald his message? Sadly, yes. Without a doubt, yes. Aleister Crowley most certainly found an army of young men who were more than happy to seduce the world with his doctrines of demons. As a matter of fact, it was 20 years after the death of Aleister Crowley when a group of English rock stars released the famous album that's now known as Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. 20 years after his death, this album came out. Now, those of you who are familiar with the album and the lyrics of it, you'll also remember that the lyrics of the title track, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, it begins like this. It was 20 years ago today. You know the rest. Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play. What happened 20 years before that day? Aleister Crowley died. Who were they celebrating with this song? As we consider these lyrics, I think it might be that the Beatles were paying honor and respect to Aleister Crowley. Is it possible that Sgt. Pepper was their commander-in-chief and they were preparing to herald his message? Well, maybe that's a stretch. Maybe I've gone too far. If you're a huge Beatles fan and you're getting a little squeamish right now, I agree, that's not enough information right now. 20 years, it just could be a coinkydink. But I'll remind you, Crowley wanted to seduce an army of young boys there in England who could help him to destroy the Christian faith by ushering in a new age of Satanism. And not only was he looking for an army of young boys, but he was trying to serve as this chief of staff. He wanted to be a military commander, a sergeant of sort, in Satan's army. Is there more evidence to argue that Sgt. Pepper may be Aleister Crowley? Well, let's consider the evidence. You might not know this, but Sgt. Pepper's album, this album put out by the Beatles, the cover art contains a crowd of people who are standing behind the band. And according to Paul McCartney, in his own words, he tells us that the album cover would include this group of people who he considered to be their heroes. So the group of people standing behind the band on the Sgt. Pepper's album cover, those are the heroes of the Beatles. They're in the top left corner of this top-selling album, in the number two position, Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley is right there on this album cover. Now remember, according to Paul McCartney, these are their heroes. And so if nothing else, in their own words, what they're saying is Aleister Crowley is our hero. And he's number two in order. With that being the case, it's not hard to imagine that the Beatles could have written a song about one of their heroes. I mean, musicians often write songs about their heroes. So is it possible now that Sgt. Pepper might be Aleister Crowley? Well, again, I don't think we have enough evidence yet. But to further prove my point that he probably is, I should point out that John Lennon once explained this. He said, the whole Beatle idea. Now, listen, Beatle fans. When John Lennon says, here's the whole Beatle idea, we should probably listen to what he has to say. He's going to explain the purpose of the band. He says, the whole Beatle idea was do what you want. Then, in order to explain what he meant, he went on to say this, do what thou wilt, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody. Now, in order to understand the origin of Lennon's words here, it'll help us to understand that the demon who was influencing Aleister Crowley led him to reverse the words that Jesus prayed prior to his crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he took those words, not my will but thine be done, and reversed them to do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine will be done, Father. And this demon led Crowley to say, no, 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 your will be done. Do whatever you want to do. It's the complete reverse of what Jesus prayed. And in the book of the law, Crowley writes that, do what thou wilt. Lennon's just quoting Crowley. And he's telling us the whole Beatle idea was Crowley's doctrine. The whole Beatle idea is to promote the central tenet of Crowley's book of the law. And listen, not only was Lennon promoting the doctrines of demons that were taught by Aleister Crowley, but he also shared Crowley's hatred of Jesus Christ. That's right. John Lennon actually told a person at the San Francisco Chronicle that, and I quote him, Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I am right, and I will be proved right. Remember, that was Crowley's plan, to get rid of Christianity so that they could usher in the new age of Satanism. Here's John Lennon saying exactly that. Christianity is going to go. It's got to vanish. We're going to have our fun time. Furthermore, in his 1965 book titled A Spaniard in the Works, Lennon, this is his book, he portrays Jesus Christ as, and I quote him, a garlic-eating, stinking, little, yellow, greasy, blank, fascist, Catholic Spaniard. Those are Lennon's words describing Jesus Christ. All you need is love. As long as it's not Jesus' love. He went on to blaspheme the Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the same book by declaring them as the fodder, sock, and Mickey Most. And that's straight up blasphemy. And yet that's what John Lennon believed. He hated Jesus Christ. He wasn't singing about the love of God when he sang about love. He was singing about a different love altogether. John Lennon and the rest of the Beatles, they were clearly young men from England who were influenced by Aleister Crowley. And not only were they influenced by Aleister Crowley, but they were soldiers in Crowley's army who were happily marching to the beat of their sergeant, Sergeant Pepper. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind, and I hope there's none in yours, that when they sang 20 years ago today, they were singing about the death of Aleister Crowley. Therefore, Sergeant Pepper is their worship song for Aleister Crowley and ultimately for Satan. To further prove my point, you'll probably be interested to know that defunct Harvard professor Timothy Leary, he also claimed that he was carrying on the work of Aleister Crowley. He said so on television in an interview. He said, yeah, I'm carrying on the work of Aleister Crowley. Timothy Leary once described the Beatles as being, and I quote him, the four evangelists. Speaking of this new age that was designed by Satan through Aleister Crowley. He's saying, yeah, the Beatles, they're the four evangelists of Aleister Crowley. They're the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of Aleister Crowley. seems obvious to me that Sergeant Pepper is, in fact, Aleister Crowley. And listen, not only were the Beatles part of Aleister Crowley's evil army, but so were the English, the members of the English band, the Rolling Stones. To prove my point, I'll remind you that the Sgt. Pepper's album was released 20 years after Crowley's death, but what you might not know is that the Beatles actually met with the Stones so that they could together release albums at the same time. At the same time that Sgt. Pepper's came out, the Rolling Stones released their album. And the title? Their Satanic Majesty's Request. They're not even hiding it. Oh, it's a joke. They're just kidding around. What's the joke? Where's the punchline? I don't get the joke. If it's supposed to be funny, what's the joke? They're not joking. 20 years after Aleister Crowley's death, the Beatles and the Stones released albums together. The covers look very, very similar. There's actually pictures of the Beatles on the Stones album. And on the Beatles album, they're paying respect to the Stones on that album as well. They worked together to release these albums at the same time, and the Stones, they called their album Their Satanic Majesty's Request. Then in their next album, Beggar's Banquet, they sang their famous anthem, which so many kids sing today. It's called Sympathy for the Devil. Sympathy for the Devil. Not even trying to hide it. Telling exactly what they believe and who they're following. These guys weren't trying to hide their love for Satan at all. But yet, is there any evidence to believe that they were also part of Aleister Crowley's army? Well, in order to establish this connection, it'll help us to know that there was a film producer by the name of Kenneth Anger. He was a devoted disciple of Crowley. He was 17 years old when Crowley died. He took it upon himself to document with film Crowley's beliefs, created a movie out of respect for Aleister Crowley. That movie was called Lucifer Rising. As we consider Kenneth Anger's connection to Crowley, we also have to understand that according to one Rolling Stones biographer named Tony Sanchez, who was there, we learned that in 1966, just before the album Their Satanic Majesty's Request was put out, Kenneth Anger met up with Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and began to tell them about the powers and the beliefs of Aleister Crowley. And according to Kenneth Anger, Jagger and Richard, they were great students. They quickly took to these teachings. Mick Jagger clearly accepted these teachings because he went on to compose the musical score for Kenneth Anger's film, Lucifer Rising. Again, that film was dedicated to Aleister Crowley. Mick Jagger did the score for it. Clearly, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones were both soldiers in Crowley's satanic army. But not only that, the list keeps going and growing. Jim Morrison and the other members of the band, The Doors, on the back of their album 13, you have it? Go home and look at it. They're on the back. Jim Morrison is holding a bust of Aleister Crowley. And the rest of the band, they're just kind of sitting around this bust. It's the central figure in the artwork. You can go and watch Jim Morrison in concert on YouTube, entering into different states of consciousness, different voices coming out of him. He's clearly possessed. His keyboardist went on to say, yeah, Jim wasn't a showman, he was a shaman. He says he was possessed, man. That's right, Jim Morrison of the Doors was possessed. Jim Morrison himself says, I met Satan. There's no joke here. He's saying, this is what I've embraced, Aleister Crowley and Satanism. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, he purchased the mansion that Crowley used to live in. That's how much he loved Aleister Crowley. He wanted to own his house. They would go in there and they would do all kinds of satanic rituals, him and the rest of the band and all their cronies. You can even watch a video of Jimmy Page live on stage with a violin bow in hand. He's playing his guitar with it, but then he starts doing this ritual that Aleister Crowley actually taught, and it was the ritual for raising Satan up. And he does it live on stage in front of his audience. He goes through the whole ritual right there. Not only that, but on their album Led Zeppelin 3, in the runoff vinyl in the center, they actually inscribed, "Do what thou wilt," right there on the record. If you own a Led Zeppelin 3 album, go home and look at it before you throw it away. Listen, the list of musicians who have been influenced by the teachings of Aleister Crowley, it continues to grow. I've barely even touched the 60s and 70s, let alone, I mean, I could go back and talk about Elvis, Little Richard. I could go forward and talk about the 80s and 90s and where we are today. Just to rattle off a quick list of people who claim to have been influenced by the teachings of Aleister Crowley: David Bowie, Prince, Sting, Daryl Hall, King Diamond, Bruce Dickinson, Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy Osbourne wrote a song. A praise song for Mr. Crowley. He didn't hide it, Sergeant Pepper. No, he said, "Mr. Crowley." It's the name of the song. He glorified Mr. Crowley for waiting on Satan's call in the song. This isn't backward masking. This is the straightforward lyrics. Oh, but it's a joke. What's the punchline? Still don't get the joke yet. Marilyn Manson once stated that Crowley was one of his favorite authors, and he often quotes Crowley's teachings in his lyrics. Not surprised by that, are you? We would expect someone like Marilyn Manson, or bands like Coil and Tool and Murder City Devils, we would expect them to promote Crowleyism, and they do. But we also find pop artists like 50 Cent, Keisha, Lady Gaga, and Jay-Z promoting the same exact teachings. Case in point, Jay-Z actually has a clothing line called Rockaware. Sorry if you have some of their clothing on right now, but got to make the point. Not only does his clothes in this clothing line, not only are they covered with Masonic symbols, which are demonic symbols, like pentagrams, obelisks, pyramids with the all-seeing eye inside of it, and his clothing is covered with this sort of thing, but he went on to produce and wear a hoodie which on the front explicitly states, "Do what thou wilt." When's the last time you heard Jay-Z speaking King James English? But there's his hoodie. For $600, you can have one. Why in the world would Jay-Z be selling a hoodie with Crowley's demonic doctrine printed right on the front of it, unless he himself is a soldier in Crowley's army? I could go on with a list of many more modern artists who have explicitly embraced the satanic teachings of Aleister Crowley, but I would also point out that there are so many more artists who haven't come out and said, "Yeah, I'm a disciple of Crowley." They haven't said that explicitly, and yet they're parroting the same teachings. They might be doing it ignorantly, but they're saying the same stuff. Do whatever you want. Whatever your heart's desire, do that. You see, Satan doesn't need you to worship him. Crowley doesn't need you to be his disciple. They just need you to love yourself so much that you don't care about God's will. That's all they need you to do. You don't have to explicitly be a follower of Aleister Crowley to become a soldier in his army. You only need to believe the philosophy that we should just do whatever we want to do. And you better believe that the seductive stars of secular music are promoting this. They're promoting the "do what thou wilt" philosophy. What's even worse is that many Christians have allowed themselves to be influenced by the seducing spirits behind these songs. You see, many of these artists claim that they're receiving this music. Michael Jackson claimed to have received his lyrics. There's many songs where he doesn't put his name on them because he says that a spirit gave him those lyrics. Jim Morrison said the same thing. Prince said the same thing. Angus Young said the same thing. I could give you a list of these artists who say, a spirit gave me this music. These seducing spirits come and they take these beautiful people and they put some nice music to it. Next thing you know, we're tapping our toe, we're singing along. George Harrison himself told us that he wrote My Sweet Lord with the purpose of deceiving Christians. He tells us that he gets Christians singing hallelujah in the song so that at the end he can switch it up to Hare Krishna, and next thing you know, Christians are singing Hare Krishna. And he laughs about it. He says, I snuck up on him and gave him a false sense of security by using the word hallelujah in it. Intentionally leading Christians to sing praises to a false god. Now, sometimes the lyrics seem innocent enough. When the Beatles sing All We Need Is Love, I mean, that sounds very innocent. It sounds very good. It sounds very Christian. I'm here to tell you it's a different Jesus. Elvis himself sang gospel music, but told us that he was worshiping a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. So while these songs might seem innocent enough, we must remember that the servants of Satan, they often masquerade themselves as angels of light, ministers of righteousness. Christian, listen, the devil is attempting to seduce us, and the devil is attempting to seduce our kids by filling their minds with doctrines of demons, and he's sneaking it in with music. Now, chances are, I'm going to guess, not one parent here today would take their child to the church of Satan and say, here's my child, I'll be back in 4 hours. Teach him anything you want. Probably not, right? I doubt any parent here today would do that. And yet, how many parents here today have taken God's money and bought their children all of these satanic songs, filled the MP3 player with it, and said, yeah, listen to it 3 or 4 hours a day, no big deal. You would never invite Jay-Z in to sit down and have 4 hours with your daughter. And yet, you do. Through those earbuds. The enemy wants to seduce your children. And too many parents are giving the enemy the platform to do it. Because, well, I don't want my kids to hate me. If you allow your kids to walk around listening to these songs all day long, you better believe that they are being brainwashed by the seducing spirits who wrote those songs. Amen. Now this brings us to our third point, because listen, the seducing spirits who are attempting to deceive us with doctrines of demons have one goal in mind. They want to lead us, parent, adult. They want to lead us away from the faith so that we might become departing disciples who are no longer able to guard the hearts and the minds of our children who might not have a relationship with Jesus yet. They want to render us ineffective so that we can do nothing to keep the enemy from taking our children. With this in mind, if you would look with me again there at 1 Timothy 4, I want to look at verse 1 again. There Paul writes, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It'll help us to understand that the word depart here, it comes from a Greek word, which in this context refers to a person who withdraws from their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the contextual meaning of this word. But drilling into this meaning a little bit more, it actually refers to someone who goes AWOL from their military position. If a soldier is given a military position and they don't show up for their position, they've gone AWOL. They've departed from their position. And so the Christian who begins to allow these doctrines of demons to infiltrate their minds, as they allow these seducing spirits to lead them away from what the Lord has called them to do, Paul's basically saying that Christian is going AWOL. They've been given a position in the Lord's army, but they're not there. They've surrendered to the enemy. This is interesting because, listen, Paul's using military terminology here, and so was Crowley. Crowley was looking for young men to form an army so that he could take these doctrines into the world so that they could sweep the Christians into the sea. Very military. Paul's saying, hey, if you allow this to happen in your life, you've gone AWOL. You've raised the white flag. You've surrendered your mind to these doctrines of demons. Based on this, we must understand that the soldiers of Satan's army who are serving under the command of Sergeant Pepper, they're attempting to keep us from becoming good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we'll surrender our minds to this garbage, then they're certainly going to take our kids. As I consider the state of the 21st century church, it seems obvious to me that we've all but raised the white flag of surrender because now churches are playing secular music from the stage. We've all but surrendered because we're unwilling to turn off the seductive sounds of Satan's servants. And in this state of surrender, listen, many Christian parents have been duped into taking God's money and filling their children's MP3 players with the demonic worship songs that are written by Satan's soldiers. And yes, I said worship music. These secular songs are designed as worship songs. Many of them, I would even say most of them. They're worship songs directed to the demons that influence Crowley. Please understand this. The average tween or teen, they spend 3 to 4 hours a day listening to music. They've got an iPhone or MP3 player or whatever filled with music, got their earbuds in. They spend 3 to 4 hours a day listening. Now, if they're listening to music that has been written by the satanic seducers found within the secular music scene, then what this means is that they're being influenced with demonic doctrines for at least a third of their waking day. How long do you think they spend reading the Bible? 10 minutes? 30 minutes? What doctrines do you think are going to win in their mind? The 30 minutes they spend in the Word or the 3 to 4 hours they spend listening to this music? It's also interesting to note that according to a study that was done by the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, they discovered that teens who were reported to listen to music more often, that 3 to 4 hours, that those teens had an 80% higher risk of developing a major depressive disorder than their peers who listened to less music. 80%. More probable that teenager is going to develop a major depressive disorder. Why? Well, I'm pretty sure that if they're listening to Christian music, which brings praise to the Lord, they're not going to get depressed. But if they're listening to depressive music that's all about going and getting yours and sexual immorality and these sorts of do-what-thou-wilt satanic concepts, if they're listening to that kind of music, then it's no wonder why they're becoming so depressed. Because there's no life in that music. And you better believe that Satan wants them to kill themselves young. You better believe that the enemy is going to do everything that he can to make sure that they end their life early before they come to Christ so he can claim their soul. That's what he wants. And listen, the music that which is focused on promoting Crowley's doctrines, this do what thou wilt doctrine, it not only causes depression, but it will also lead your children to depart from the faith in pursuit of sexual immorality and lust and a love of money and all these things that the Bible says don't go after. This do what thou wilt doctrine will lead our kids to do whatever they want to do. What do you think your kids want to do? Well, they're carnal hearts. Just look at your own for a second. It's the same. If you allow your kids to listen to this music, don't be surprised when they get out from underneath your roof, when they go off to college, they're going to do what they wilt. You allow them to spend 3 to 4 hours every day being indoctrinated with this music, do not be surprised when they follow the doctrine after they leave your house. Now, I realize that there are many Christians who will argue, look, I listen to the music. I don't listen to the lyrics. I just like the music. The research proves otherwise. You can think that you're not listening to the lyrics, but your brain's taking it in. They've shown research where kids say, I don't listen to the music, and then they'll quote a couple of words from a song, and the kid's like, boom, there's the rest of the line. They know the lyrics, unless you're listening to, like, you know, Hungarian death metal or something. I mean, nobody understands what they're saying, right? You got to speak German to know what Rammstein is saying, but... But you can't use the argument that I just listen to the music, I don't really ingest the lyrics. Yes, you do. At least on a subconscious level, you do. I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of song lyrics in my head that I wish weren't there. Walk into the store and there's some Muzak playing, and I know the lyrics of that song. Because I listened to it over and over and over and over again and ingrained it into my brain like a fool. And now I'm stuck with it until the resurrection. I quit listening to this secular music because I didn't want to put any more in. And I don't feed it with the same stuff that I've been listening to for years because it just, I don't need to listen to it more. It's just, I'm done. I don't want to be influenced by the soldiers of Crowley's army. I don't want to sing their worship songs. I want to worship the Lord. You can't say that you just listen to the music. You're listening to the music and the lyrics. And when you listen to a song over and over and over again, the lyrics become ingrained into your brain. And listen, those lyrics, if left unchecked, will begin to affect your worldview. They will. I've heard Christians who know better say things that I know are so anti-Christian, but I know where it came from because I've heard it before. They've been influenced by some song. And they don't even recognize that they're saying something that's unbiblical. But it's just part of their thought process because they've allowed this music to go in and affect their subconscious mind. That being the case, I want to encourage every Christian here to fight back today. Stop the brainwashing that occurs every time you listen to this garbage. Just turn it off. Throw it away. Get rid of it. Stop listening to the doctrines of demons that come from the seducing spirits of Crowley's satanic soldiers. And not only should you take a stand to protect and guard your own heart and mind, but then you can turn around and start helping your kids to take the same stand. Rather than introducing them to your favorite bands, thereby introducing them to the teachings of Aleister Crowley, take a stand with them and help them to understand why we really don't need to be listening to this stuff. Help your kids to take a stand against the enemy by helping them to look at the lyrics and understand what's being said, and then compare that to the scriptures and ask them, does it make sense for us to listen to this when the Bible says that? We need to be good soldiers in the Lord's army, but taking a stand against the soldiers that are fighting for the other team. In conclusion, I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 so that we can consider how we fight this good fight of faith. And as you're turning there, I want to bring you back to the question that I asked at the beginning of the study. Have you been deceived by the doctrines of demons? Have you allowed the teachings of fallen angels to affect your subconscious mind? Have you been duped into embracing the satanic lies of seducing spirits? Have you all but departed from the faith because, well, it's just easier to turn on the secular radio on the way to work? We have to understand that those who are listening to the doctrines of demons that are being preached by these seducing spirits will end up becoming departing disciples. Do not be deceived by that. It's only a matter of time. Rather, I would encourage you to fight the good fight of faith, and to do so by following the words of Paul found here in Ephesians 5. If you would look with me there at verse 6, Paul says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words." Now, if that doesn't describe 90-some-odd percent of all the secular music in the world, I don't know what does. Empty words. "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." Christian, are you still filling your mind with the darkness of deceptive words? Or are you walking as a child of the light? Listen, if you're walking as a child of the light, if you're walking in the truth of Jesus Christ, then you will end up exposing the darkness that is found in the lyrics that promote "Do what thou wilt." You won't enjoy singing these songs. You'll despise it. You won't sing these worship songs that are aimed at bringing praise to the fallen angel Satan. You'll expose it because it's darkness. And if you're walking in the light, then that's all you can do is expose darkness. That being the case, I encourage you, Christian, those who have placed their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, walk accordingly. Walk in the light so that you might not be deceived by the seductive, deceptive doctrines that are found within the songs written by the soldiers of Aleister Crowley's army. Let's pray.